Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
NYYST. This is New York. Yankee Sports Talk. Yup. Swinging for the fences. Knock it out the park. This is New York. Yankee Sports Talk. Woo. Christian and Chris. Of course, SGR. This is New York. Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York. Yankee Sports Talk. Record, rain, or shine. Grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST. You're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 427 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian. As always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
Well, it is game 162 of the season here on Sunday afternoon. It's about 3:40. The Yankees have not started game 162, but it doesn't really matter. The Yankees, as virtue of two wins from the Houston Astros, of all people, over the Cleveland Guardians, locked up the top seed for the Yankees. So the Yankees really didn't care about the top seed after Thursday based on some of the lineups they put out there, but they got what they wanted anyway, locked up the top seed. And now we just wait for Saturday and see who's going to come to the Bronx to kick off and game one of the ALDS.
And we forgot to let Mother Nature know that we didn't care about this game because Mother Nature thought we'd be recording after the game, which is why it's delayed, because every game that we want to record after either gets delayed or goes into extra innings.
Well, we decided that after Cleveland lost last night, there was really no sense in waiting until after this game was over. So we were going to just jump on here during the game. But game's being delayed by weather now. And obviously the result doesn't matter with the Yankees having locked up the top seed. So it's basically going to come down to who's going to show up in the Bronx on Saturday. I believe it's the Orioles. And who's in that second wild card spot?
Kansas City and Tigers.
No, all the teams are in, right?
They're all in. I don't know if we have the definite seating between Kansas City and Detroit.
I'm trying to look that up right now. Okay.
I'll tell you in probably quicker than you.
Well, Detroit is in the second slot right now, and Kansas City is in third. I don't know what the tiebreakers would be because Detroit has a one-game lead over Kansas City, so I don't know if Kansas City wins and Detroit loses, if that affects anything, but I mean, that's probably, maybe the Yankees didn't want the top seed because they're slated to face the winner of the Orioles and Tigers. We know that the Yankees have not matched up well against the Orioles this year. And my biggest fear in the American League playoffs is having to face Tarik Skubal possibly twice in a short series because he's the man. And we know the Yankees don't play well, have not played well against left-handed starters this season. So that would be my biggest fear. But I guess the Yankees could possibly get an advantage out of playing one of those two teams because Corbin Burns also lurks if they do play the Orioles. But if they have to burn Burns, well, they will burn Burns in school, but I can't imagine that they'd hold him back for any reason. The Yankees would still probably be in a five-game series, would be able to throw Gerrit Cole twice and neither one of those guys would be able to go twice. So it would give the Yankees an advantage in the starting pitching department there.
Yeah.
I mean, we sat here, you know, after the Yankees came back from Oakland, where they needed one win to lock up the East, and the Yankees basically really kind of took the week off, knowing that they needed one win to lock up the East. So I don't know how much you really want to make out of this last week. It doesn't really change a lot to me, especially when you lost Nestor for that middle game in against Baltimore. You won the game that you really needed to win on Thursday, and then, like we said, they really didn't put their best foot forward here against the Pirates on Friday and Saturday. And even now, we're just waiting for official confirmation that Judge was a late scratch due to the weather, or not that anything happened, because if anything did happen to him, there's really no sense in even continuing a discussion about this team's postseason chances.
Yeah, agreed.
But as we did sit here on that Sunday after the Oakland series, we said we felt really good about this team. That, or it was Monday, we were live actually that night. So it was Monday. So we feel really good about this team. Probably the best we felt about an Aaron Boone team going into the postseason. And we all stated that the reason why was because this was the healthiest that the Yankees had been going into a postseason, and then we get the news that Nestor is going to be out at least until the ALCS, which just basically means that he's done for the year. Mm-hmm. And after we saw Luis Gil pitch on Saturday, that kind of is a bigger blow than we even initially said that it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, in a completely meaningless game, I don't care that the number one seed was potentially on the line in a completely meaningless game, Anthony Rizzo breaks two fingers on his hand.
Yep.
And now they did an IL him. Ben Rice was called up and put in the lineup for Sunday. They just sent down Scott Efros to create a roster spot.
Because why not?
Yeah, because why not? So, because if they IL'd Rizzo, that would definitely mean that he's going to miss the ALDS, but they didn't do that. Apparently, from everything we've gathered so far, it's going to be a pain management thing, but who knows? I just don't think that a lot of fans, especially the ones I've encountered on social media, understand what a big loss Anthony Rizzo is for the Yankees. And, Ben Rice has been raking down AAA. Great. He's not a good first baseman. And I never wanted Anthony Rizzo for this postseason run for his bat. I wanted him in the lineup because he's a great first baseman. And I don't care what the metrics are and says that he's not good anymore. He's good, okay? Especially when you watch him every day, like you should do as a Yankee fan, you realize how terrible this infield defense is. And he saves a lot of errors. He gets a lot of outs, and putting Ben Rice over there is not a fair trade, in my point. And Ben Rice would probably need to bat 700 in the postseason to not feel the loss of Anthony Rizzo defensively.
Yeah. I mean, to me, any fan who doesn't see the weight of this, it just doesn't understand the game in a knowledgeable way. I mean, we talked about it so much, and maybe it's a jinx by proxy at this point. Maybe you're not even allowed to talk to me about how important some guys are, because we literally took 20 minutes, maybe longer, just focused on Anthony Rizzo and what he means to the rest of this team defensively. And it's a big blow, man. Look, gun to my head, or you know, you're gonna ask me, does it take them out of the chances of winning a World Series? Like, can they still win a World Series without Rizzo? Yeah, I think it's more than possible, but it still hurts. It still stings. And again, like you said, we were just getting done talking about how healthy this team has been. It's a bigger blow than people wanna make it out to be.
Because if you're just looking at what Anthony Rizzo does offensively, then yeah, obviously, it's not that big of a deal. But that's not what Anthony Rizzo's importance to this team is. One of the things that is going to kill the Yankees in the postseason is they're terrible defensively. Okay, I don't care what anybody says. Even Anthony Volpe, who I think is a really good shortstop, can't throw the ball to first base. He has trouble getting it over there. And guess what makes that a lot easier? Anthony Rizzo being there. So
sure does.
You know, if you have Gleyber, who's been really good in September and has found the home in the leadoff spot. And you have Soto and Judge and Stanton and Chisholm. And I know Wells has been in a big slump, but I think October is going to wake him up here. And the Yankees have gave him off today. He'll have a nice little stretch here because they don't play to Saturday. Maybe it re-energizes him as well. You got Wells, okay? A lot of people want to see what Volpe does in his first postseason setting, you know, okay? Now you're looking at a team, you know, and then you're looking at a team that might be six deep. Dominguez, that's still up for debate. Dominguez over Verdugo. But, you know, you don't need Anthony Rizzo's bat in this lineup. You need his glove in the field. And that's a big, big blow for the Yankees. I don't care what anybody says. It still remains to be seen if he's going to take the field on October 5th. Yankees aren't ruling it out. But, you know, that's not something that you can just brush off and be like, ah, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. You know, this team and us, there's a couple of things that scare me about the Yankees going into October, and that's one of them. Their defense is not very good. Their best defensive player might be Aaron Judge, and he's average in center field because he's playing out of position. So, I mean, you look around the infield, the outfield, you know, if Dominguez is going to catch fly balls, I don't really worry about it. But Soto's not good. He's not good out there in right field. I mean, Jazz is doing okay, but he's not a third baseman. He's a flip of a coin.
Glaber's Glaber. You have Ben Rice over at first. He's not a first baseman. You have, you know, let's just say Dominguez is in left field, not a left fielder. You have Judge in center field, not a center fielder. You have Soto in right field, not a right fielder. I mean, the list goes on and on, but sounds like we have a lot to complain about, but it's not the case. I mean, again, it's still possible, beyond possible. I think it's a huge blow. I don't think it's a fatal one by any means.
No, fatal, no, for sure it's not. I don't think this kills the Yankees, but it could.
If you're asking me, gun to my head, is Rizzo in the lineup? My answer is yes. My answer is yes. What were the two fingers ringing?
Ringing pinky?
Did
they say fourth and fifth?
If it's fourth and fifth, I'll tell you this. There's a lot of guys. I became one of these guys. It always felt weird to me. But there's a lot of guys who go two, not to get graphic here, two in the pinky of their glove. Okay? So if you have these two fingers here taped up, maybe a little splint, maybe a little something protecting them, and you're catching that ball at first base, you can probably manage the pain defensively. I don't see why you couldn't. And then hitting-wise, as a left-handed hitter, his right hand isn't that important. I mean, not that he's going to drill the ball. He doesn't do it with two hands. But my point is, I think Rizzo's tough enough and would be capable enough defensively to get this done. And I truly believe he'll be in there.
We'll have to wait and see. But, you know, just the initial reaction from a lot of people online was, oh, it's not. It is. I'm telling you, it could be potentially a big deal. And, you know, you're not going to think it's a big deal until Rice isn't making plays that Rizzo does, and the Yankees are giving a team 4 and 5 outs.
Tell you where it's a bigger deal. Even if Rizzo plays at this point, even if Rizzo says, I'm good, how do you handle the bench now? Now you're potentially sacrificing a strategic bench piece for, let's say, Ben Rice. Because even though Ben Rice isn't the greatest first baseman, would you agree that if you're going to have to go to him, if you're going to have to go to someone else at first at some point in the ALDS here, that you'd rather it Ben Rice than Oswaldo Cabrera?
You don't have to carry Ben Rice at the jump.
What do you mean?
If Rizzo's going to say he's good for game one,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to put Ben Rice on the roster right away. So if he plays, gets through, you know, getting in like fifth inning game one, I can't do it. Okay, Oswaldo finishes it out. Rizzo IL, and then you call up Ben Rice.
Okay, what if it's But my, okay. All right. Fine.
You don't have to sign. I guess that's the way the Yankees would go. Because I think they're going to want Birdie and Cabrera on the roster, give them some flexibility. The big roster decision that I'm looking at is Grisham and Dominguez right now. I think, I hate to say it because I don't really think he adds anything offensively, but we're talking about defense again here. I think Verdugo's a lock to make it. I think the Yankees trust him out there in left field. I think outside of when he fell down against Baltimore at the end of the first half there, he's been really good in left field. I mean, you can't say that he hasn't been. Do you carry Grisham solely for defense and then say Verdugo's your starting left fielder, or is Dominguez your starting left fielder and Verdugo's the caddy late in games? I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking at here.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know that. The problem is I don't know that Dominguez showed me enough to think he's any more of an upgrade at this point.
That's the point. That's another point there, too, is that even after he botches that play Wednesday against the Orioles and we're all like, okay, that's probably it for him. The Yankees have now played him every day since then, and he hasn't really taken off with the bat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So, again, though, he still brings that X factor, that bit of that extra dynamic that if you're not going to get anything out of Verdugo offensively, do you try to ride, see if you can catch some lightning in a bottle with Dominguez? Because if he hits even a little bit, you know, he's got that type of electricity, especially on the bases where he's not, you know, he can steal a few bags, create runs with his athleticism, and then you still have Verdugo there for late in games to shore up the defense.
Yeah, whereas, I think it's criminal to not have to have Grisham over Dominguez.
And where I'll make the argument over for Dominguez over Grisham and why Grisham should be the odd man out is that Grisham, you're not going to play if you're looking for an offensive upgrade, like late in the series, let's say the Yankees, God forbid, are down 2-1, not scoring a lot of runs, and Verdugo's 0-for-12, and you're looking for a spark offensively, you're not going to go to Trent Grisham there.
Right.
You're going to hope that Jason Dominguez can bring you that spark.
Right.
And why are you going to have two defensive outfielders on the roster?
Mm-hmm.
You're only playing either one of them for defense.
The only argument you can make for Verdugo starting at this point, like if we're going down this path, to me, it's an intangible argument. You can't really quantify it, but if you want to tell me Verdugo might bring you that spark and you want him out there, maybe. Like, I could see him being a clutch guy in October for this team. But I don't know, man. What would you do? Would Dominguez be in this lineup game one Saturday?
I don't know if he would be in the lineup, but he's on the roster.
He's definitely. To me, it's definitive. To me, that can't even be a question. Because, like you said, you have the defensive reinforcement anyway. But also, I need a guy on this bench that I can go to at any given time that can do damage. I need that in Dominguez also.
Yankees have announced that the game will start at 4:30.
Okay. Will you watch it just to have baseball in your life, since you're not going to have a meaningful game for yourself until Saturday?
I'll put it on. I don't know if I'm going to be glued to the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else am I doing today?
True.
I mean, look,
it's kind of like a spring training game, in a sense of you're looking for things out of certain people. You don't care if the Yankees win, but you're still looking at certain guys in this lineup. And if Schmidt's still going to pitch, you want to see him pitch well.
I might actually give the Mets more attention, because I mean, that's obviously that something's riding on that. It's more interesting in that
very
sense.
Very interesting.
But Arizona's losing right now, and so are the Braves. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the one thing we want, baseball on Monday. So however we get to baseball on Monday is what we want. And I don't care if I don't care if the Mets get in, but I want them
to get in.
I don't want them to clinch today.
Yeah, want their fans to sweat.
I want their fans to sweat this out, and then they can clinch on Monday. But I don't know how hard the Brewers are trying today.
But my thing is, it doesn't sound like you can answer this definitively. Maybe you can. If the Mets win, do they clinch a spot no matter what else happens?
I don't know if the Mets are winning in 100%. I don't think they can be. It depends on what Arizona does.
Right. If Arizona loses, I think then both the Braves and the Mets they clinch a spot. Well, no, the Mets would have to win.
Jeff Passan there's eight possible scenarios, and Passan spelled them all out earlier today. But the only one that keeps baseball from happening on Monday is this one here. Let me find this here. So if the Braves and Mets win and Arizona loses, that's the only way that we don't have baseball on Monday. Mm. Because then all no doubleheader on Monday, it says. And I don't know how they would figure out the seeding at that point.
The commissioner picks out of a hat.
Yeah, whatever. Flip a coin.
Whoever draws the shortest straw loses.
I guess it would just matter on... No, one of those teams would be the top wild card faces the number two team, and then the third wild card. So it would just matter where they go. They don't get a home. They still wouldn't get a home game out of it. Right. So I guess that's why they don't really seem to care, because those two, the second and third wild cards, are going to be on the road for the series anyway. So
right.
I guess the other couple things we can look at here really is, as we kind of now focus on the postseason, is we know the rotation, who it's going to be. It's going to be Cole and Rodon. Rodon was okay. I was at the game on Friday night. It was okay. Walked a lot of guys. He gave a back-to-back home runs after the Yankees just scored. So you don't like that. But overall, it was pretty good.
I hope I'm not wrong here. I think Carlos Rodon, I just keep getting a vibe when I think about him in October that he's just going to fucking dominate. I really do. I think he's going to have that intensity.
But I think if you're looking for things to be concerned about, Luis Gil was freaking terrible yesterday.
Awful. Now, here's something I wanted to float to you and see if maybe we can... I guess I'm only thinking this way to make myself feel better. But the Yankees are playing the Pirates. I know it's not a completely meaningless game, but maybe at a certain point you have Gil go out there and it's like, look, dude, we need you locked in for October. Here's what we need to see out of you. We need to see you go after hitters more. We need to see you be more aggressive. You know, he was getting hit, but he was also throwing the ball. He was finding the strike zone more than I've seen him find it in a long time. Am I wrong about that? Maybe I wasn't too locked in. Like, what I mean by that is, instead of trying to be cute when he was behind, he was going right after hitters.
And I mean, I had one walk yesterday, but he gave four home runs. So, I mean.
Right. So, again, it still doesn't make you feel great, but maybe the game plan yesterday with Heel was, screw the results right now. Let's see if you can attack the zone more instead of losing guys and walking a bunch of guys. And maybe there's got to be a balance. Maybe there's got to be a middle ground there with him where he was too aggressive. I also think his shit was flat. Right.
No, so, I don't think he had good stuff yesterday at all.
Yeah, no, the slider was good here and there, but it was flat way more than you want it to be. But again, maybe his focus yesterday is attacking guys more when he's falling behind or just not losing guys. I don't know.
I just think that we know the four names. It's just what order they're going to go in. Obviously, Cole's going one. I would say, I think it's pretty obvious Rodon's going two. Is if you're in a situation where you, God forbid, you're down 0-2, do you want Clark Schmidt on the mound to save your season?
Clark Schmidt. Lose?
No, there you go.
It's not even close. It's not close to me at this point because you need a guy in there that can, like, when you're down 0-2, the one thing you need is stability. Right? Luis Heel, no matter what the situation, is never going to give you stability. It's always Clark Schmidt. For me, it's not a question.
And I think if the Yankees were down 2-1, they would be in a position where they would be able to bring Gerrit Cole back in game four. And then in that scenario, do you even pitch? Then Luis Heel does he even factor into anything?
Probably not. If you're down 2-1, season on the line, you have to go back to Cole. He's not going to let you not go back to him. I mean, let's pray we're not in this situation. But Cole's not going to let you not go back to him. He's taking the ball. You'd have to pry it out of his hands. Gerrit Cole's taking the ball in that scenario. So you're right. In a situation where the Yankees' backs are against the wall, I don't know if we see Luis Heel at all. There's a lot of off days, man.
Yeah, I think they're going to play 5 games in 8 days. So they can
That's insane to me.
You don't might not even have 3 off days in a month, and then they're getting 3 off days in for a 5-game series.
It's so dumb and ridiculous. I fucking hate it. I hate what has become of baseball. I think just everything's backwards. But yeah, they're playing Saturday, off Sunday. They play Monday. Then they're off again for a travel day. They'll play Wednesday, Thursday, off Friday, and then back again Saturday if they need to be.
How do they play? They can't play Monday. It goes 2-2-1. They're going to have them travel after game two and then play game three the next day.
Okay. They're off. They play Saturday at Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
Then they're off Sunday for whatever reason.
Yes.
And they play Monday again at Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
Then they are off Tuesday to travel.
Okay.
Then Wednesday, Thursday are the only two back-to-back games.
Which they should be.
In Cleveland.
Oh, they're not going to play Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, duh. You know what I mean. Whatever team they fucking play. I'm just thinking Cleveland's the other team in the ALDS right now.
I misheard what you said there.
Then they're off Friday and then play again Saturday.
So it should be really Saturday, Sunday, day off.
Makes no sense to be off Sunday.
Tuesday, Wednesday, day off. Friday should be game five.
Exactly. Done.
Makes no sense. Yeah, that actually, I guess because maybe they want to give Saturday the spotlight for the American League and then Sunday the spotlight for the National League, but they never used to do it like that. And it doesn't.
No.
And it changes now with the wild card round that you really don't need to do something like that.
Right. Makes no sense.
Yeah. So.
Plus, as a fan, you're so anxious for this, right? And then you're telling me, so your team, let's just go down one road here. Your team wins Saturday. You want them back out there Sunday, man. That's all you're thinking about.
Yeah, it's a momentum killer.
And then now your team loses Saturday. You still are dying for them to play again because you're sitting with this pit in your stomach that you're down a game to start the series. You want to get that game back, and you're sitting there, and you can't sleep for 2 nights now.
I mean, there's really not much else to kind of break down here. I think we know everybody else is going to be in their positions that we've seen throughout the last couple of months here since Jazz has been here. The only thing is, are the Yankees that concerned? They haven't come out and said it. Are they that concerned about Wells's slump that maybe Trevino gets in there in game one?
Oh, please no.
That's the only thing that could possibly be up in the air. Who's going to play first base if it's not Rizzo? But we know it's going to be Gleyber, Volpe, Jazz. It's going to be Soto, Judge, and then we already talked about what's going to go on in left field. Then the starting rotation really is, when do you slot in Schmidt and Heel? And then it's just, Weaver's going to be the closer.
Why did you put a question mark at the end of that?
Because these are the Yankees. Weaver's going to be the closer. I mean,
if that's a question, then we have way bigger issues than I thought.
But Cole gets in trouble in the set early on in the seventh in game one. The Yankees are clinging to a 2-1 lead in the heart of the order's coming up for, say, it's the Orioles. Gunner's coming up. Does Boone get tempted to go to Weaver to shut it down right there?
No, I mean, really, I don't know how you manage it, but with all these off days, you better be giving me Weaver in multiple innings.
But you're not going to pitch him two and two thirds, though. That's a lot. You might give
two and two thirds is a lot.
If Cole goes six and a third, he's at a 110. You could tell he's tiring. The Orioles got runners on the corners with an out. Yanks are up 2-1 in that spot. Does he say, I'm going to, and Gunnar Henderson's coming up, does he say, I'm going to Weaver to shut this down and worry about the ninth inning when I get to the ninth inning? Or is he going to say, Weaver's just a ninth inning guy?
I'll tell you what, I'm not big on using Weaver outside of the ninth as a closer. But I'm also not going to kill Boone if that scenario presents itself and he goes to Weaver to shut the door.
No, you are going to kill him, though. I tell you, if he gets out of it, and then they bring in, say, Tommy Kahnle to close a 2-1 game, and then they lose 4-2.
Yeah, but at that point, what I'm saying is maybe that's still the right move. And at the same time, other guys in this bullpen have to be reliable. If that scenario presents itself and it plays out the way we just talked about, there's only one way I kill Boone, and that's if he goes to Weaver to get out of the jam and then goes to Clay Holmes to try and close it. Then I kill him.
But what if Weaver gasses himself in the seventh, gets out of the jam, though, but gasses himself, and Boone's like, I can't bring him out for the eighth. They go to Holmes in the eighth.
That's not realistic. If you're telling me he gasses himself after one inning, that's a problem.
But what if he, long at bats, he's got to fight through
playoffs,
to get
bro. If walk, you're trying to give me a hypothetical 20, scenario, where I don't care what the situation is. If Clay Holmes is pitching meaningful innings in the postseason, late in games with a lead, we have a problem.
But you'd be okay if Boone said in that scenario, I'm going to Weaver right here to shut this game down.
I'm not necessarily going to sit here and say I'd be okay with it. I think that Weaver has to be your closer. All I'm saying is I'm not going to kill Boone if that happens. I still think there's other guys in this bullpen that, if you feel Weaver's that valuable, they still have to step up in some way. Because if not, then it doesn't matter what the manager does. We'll never be able to win a World Series. Weaver's your best guy.
That's the only... the Jets are losing to the Broncos with under 2 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, man. It was a shitty game.
Let's put that. Oh, the Mets. I think the Mets are going to win here. They're up 2-0 here. Severino's wearing eye black. I mean, yeah, you know what?
I hate seeing pitchers wear eye black. Is he pitching?
No, he's just on the bench.
All right.
I mean, now we have to give... He made it through the entire season healthy, so you got to give it to the Mets and Sevy for doing that.
You gotta kind of scratch your head there a little bit. What's the last season he was healthy the entire year with the Yankees? 2018?
Probably.
That's a fucking head scratcher for me, man. That's a big head scratcher for me.
Let's see if there's any news on Judge. I mean, they could just come out and say that it was for the weather. and not let us sit here and sweat this out.
I mean, come on.
Because until they say it, you're going to think it. Because these are the Yankees.
Fair. Man, and the Broncos have the ball back. And they're driving.
They're going to try to kick a field goal here and put themselves up four and let Rodgers have to score a touchdown.
Oh, my God.
But I guess the only other thing I want to do here and to wrap up the show here is just kind of take a look at the seasons that Aaron Judge and Juan Soto had. They're going to combine. They fell just short of combining for 100 home runs. They're going to combine for 99 home runs. Judge, this is Aaron Judge's season. 322 batting average, 58 home runs, 144 RBIs, 1.159 OPS, 223 OPS plus in a 10.8 WAR.
Jesus God.
If that's not an MVP season, then the voting was rigged.
If he doesn't win MVP, I don't care about MVP anymore. How could you?
And that's with him taking 3.5 weeks off in April and taking 2.5 weeks off in September.
Literally off. He should have just not even played.
It is one of the wildest things that you'll see is that a player slumped as bad as Aaron Judge did for, so what did we say, 6 weeks?
Christian, he was batting 169 at one point.
And this is the season that he put together.
So I have a couple friends who try to make the argument, and they're Yankee fans. They keep trying to make the argument that Ohtani is the greatest player of our lifetime. And my argument back is, if you want to talk about value in a sense of he pitches to a 3 ERA when he's healthy, and he's also incredible at the plate. And if you want to talk to me about a player who unfortunately will leave behind a bigger legacy for what he's done, yeah, it's probably going to be Shohei Ohtani. But this has always been my argument. Shohei Ohtani was raised in a culture, baseball-wise, that didn't frown upon him pitching and hitting. In America, when Aaron Judge enters college, let's just dial it back a little bit. You don't think Aaron Judge was a dominant pitcher in high school?
I don't know if he was or he wasn't.
I guarantee you that he was. I guarantee you if you look it up, he was. I guarantee you he was a fucking bull on the mound. I'd almost guarantee it. And I don't know for sure. Maybe I'm wrong. What I do know for sure is that when he got to college and he was mashing home runs, they told him not to pick a baseball up again to pitch off a mound. I can almost guarantee.
Pitched and played first base in college, in high school.
Okay.
See if there's any stats here.
I'd love to know. Love to know how good he was as a pitcher. Anyway.
Well, it just says there isn't much information about his pitching stats.
Yeah. So my point here is that in America, if we allowed players to continue down both paths, I'm not saying Aaron Judge would be Ohtani on the mound. All I'm saying is he'd at least have a chance. So you can't compare those things. It's great what Ohtani does, but I promise you, there's something.
Here we go.
There, you got it?
Yeah. He had a 0.88 ERA in high school in 48.
Was that good?
In 48.
Is that good?
Can you let me finish?
Okay.
He had a 0.88 ERA in high school in 48 innings pitched. He struck out 65 batters in those 48 innings and had a batting average against a 114.
I wonder how hard he threw. 114, that's pretty high, no? Batting average against? Okay. So my point is, could Aaron Judge, if Aaron Judge wasn't also a fucking dominant hitter and scary hitter, 6'8", could Aaron Judge have possibly also been a pitcher? I don't know. So you can't compare the two. Aaron Judge is the greatest player of our lifetime.
He's definitely the greatest hitter for sure.
That's it. That's all I need to hear. And that's my argument. Look at the numbers between him and Ohtani offensively this year, and Ohtani was amazing.
They're making too big of a deal out of stolen bases. That's what it is.
It is for a couple reasons. One, and I don't want to take away from Ohtani. I hate doing that in arguments. But come on, how much easier is it now to steal bases? Still impressive what he did. But here's the better argument. Acuña, just a year ago,
had 40-70.
Had 40-70. So if stolen bases are that valuable and he had that many more and also still hit 40 home runs, that's just as good of a season, in my opinion, but they won't tell you that. The fact is, stolen bases are great. They're not, it's not, you're, again, you're not going to get me to be over the moon for a guy.
Oh, they missed. The Jets missed.
What, they were kicking a field goal?
They were kicking a field goal that would have put them up by two, and they missed, so the Broncos are going to win.
Oh, my God.
And Aaron Rodgers.
Who's their kicker?
Greg Zuerlein.
You should be fucking fired.
Oh, that thing just tailed at the end. It was dead center and just tailed at the end. Got to win those games.
Yeah, it's going to fuck them.
Look, I don't think longtime listeners of this show know that I've never really hid my feelings on Shohei Ohtani. He's a great player. I think he's a bitch, but he's a great player.
I hate his guts. I think he's amazing.
I just, the meat riding that MLB is doing with him this year is sickening, though.
I mean, let's not get it twisted either.
It's over the top, bro.
It's really over the top for sure, but that game he put up last week or a week or, you know, 10 days ago.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Dude, amazing.
But this calling guy it the greatest day in the history of baseball?
Yeah. Oh, these are also the guys who will tell you if you don't. I mean, I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to say this. It's not the greatest day in the history of baseball. There have been way more important things on and off the field that have happened in the history of baseball. And for them to say that is so blind to this guy, for their dedication to this guy. I'll tell you this, man. I am so happy and grateful he's out of the American League. I can tell you that. Because there was nothing more disgusting than no matter what Judge did, they just constantly wanted to talk about
Ohtani. Could you imagine if Ohtani had the same season with the Angels and Judge had this season?
I got to give it to I forget who it was on MLB Network. I forget who it was. It was a guy who typically you would think would give the nod to Ohtani, but at the end of it, he said Judge had the better year. There's just no denying it.
I don't think the voters would vote that way, though.
No, absolutely not. Because the optics of what Ohtani's doing to them are more important than the actual substance.
Because Aaron Judge, you know, that 0-for-5 with 5 strikeout performance on Saturday really, really screwed him up. Because now statistically, he's going to finish with the 7th greatest offensive season in history of baseball.
Right. How many of them, if you took out all the dirty players, all the dirty names, how many, where would he rank then?
2nd, because Ted Williams is 6th now.
But no, it'd be 3rd because Babe Ruth is on there, no?
Oh, yeah, Babe Ruth, but we said that he played against Plummer, so how does that count?
I mean, it's kind of true, right?
Nah, but come on. The guy, Aaron Judge, statistically just finished the 7th greatest offensive season in baseball.
But he didn't have stolen, he only had 10 stolen bases, dude.
Yeah, I know. Come on. Such a shame that he only had 10 stolen bases.
This should be eye-opening to people because it's clear how great Shohei Ohtani was this year. That's how good Aaron Judge is. That's how good he is. It wasn't even comparable to what Aaron Judge did this year.
And look, if you're one of these fans that was on social media yesterday making some correlation between yesterday's game and how Judge is going to perform in October, just go bury your head in the sand now.
Please.
One thing really has nothing to do with the other. And that was another thing fans were saying. Oh, look, the Yankees are limping into the postseason. They didn't care.
Yeah, come on.
They put this season to bed after they won in Oakland on Sunday, last Sunday. They smelled that. I'm still not coming back from that. They smelled the blood in the water when they were out on West Coast, saw how Baltimore was playing, went out there 5-1, put the division away. They knew they needed to win one game. They sent their ace out there to win that one game, and that was it.
And it was a great win. Overall, one of the most satisfying wins this team has had all year. Just overall, Judge hitting a home run, Cole being your guy, being the bull, and walking off to that ovation. It was just everything you wanted in a game-clinching, division-clinching win.
So, Yankee, let's say the Yankees lose today. They don't care. They're not putting their bet. They go 1-5 on this final homestand. Optically, it looks bad because that means that throughout the course of the year, this team was only 5 games over at 500 at home, which is insane to think about, the Yankees being a poor home team.
Yeah.
But they came home. Okay, you want to say that first game against Baltimore, they tried, they didn't win, fine. But look what they dealt with. They lost their starter for Wednesday. Anytime that happens, that throws everything for a loop. And then after they won on Thursday, this has been spring training 2.0 these last couple of days here.
Yep.
You can't take anything that's really happened on this homestand and try to magnify that towards what the Yankees are going to do in October, other than they needed to win one game. And Garrett Cole went out there and won it for them. That should be the only thing that you really take out of this series.
Yep. And it's a clean slate now. Like, look, we're the first people to criticize this team, no matter what the situation, if they deserve criticism. And we're the last people to just look at the optics and be okay with certain things. Like, when this team was 28 games over and then started to slide, everyone else was, look at their record. They're still in first place. And we're like, guys, but there's bigger issues here. We're not just looking at the context. We've always been those people. Now I'm gonna tell you this. Look at the bigger picture here. This team did go in a slide, but they ended up doing their job. They took the top seed in the American League for the first time since 2012, which I couldn't believe. They won the division, and now it's a clean slate. You have to feel good about this team. If for anything, just the fact that they are, for sure, the best team heading into the postseason on the American League side. And that's all you can ask for. It really is. If they don't do their job, it's because of the guys on the field and in the dugout. And we've been asking that of this front office for a long time. So I got to feel good about this team no matter how they finish out the year.
And the other guy I want to look at here is Juan Soto, who was not in the lineup today as well. He's going to finish his season with a .288 batting average, 41 home runs, 109 runs batted in, 989 OPS, 179 OPS plus, and a 7.9 WAR.
Unreal.
Somehow exceeded the expectations that we had for him this year.
Well, you always put on a player like the pressure of pinstripes, and you don't expect them to live up to the hype, and then all of a sudden, he just exceeds it. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more, man. And there's something that Soto brought to this team that they've been lacking, and it was something that Jeter used to bring. It was just an intangible energy and aura to the team.
Well, toughness.
Toughness is, let me tell you, man, toughness on another level that I haven't seen in a long time. And just beyond that, just the way he plays the game, his at-bats, his understanding of the strike zone.
All right, Diamondbacks are winning, so they're up 6-1 now. So I think that's going to that could push us definitely into Monday. But the Mets are leading 3-0. And Pete Alonso just got hit with another pitch. I'm sure he's not happy about that. Okay.
Nice.
And I think the Braves are still losing, but I need the Mets not to clinch. However it works out that the Mets don't clinch today, that's what I
don't
want.
Think they clinch if the Diamondbacks win, even if they win.
But I got to check the scenarios. But if the Braves lose, does that put the Mets? I don't think that puts the Mets ahead of the Braves, though, right? Because the Braves are ahead by a game right now. We just need Arizona to win. Arizona's got to win here. Them losing screws everything up.
All right. So let me just finish. My point is that Soto brought more to this than statistics and what he did in the field. He brought an energy. He brought a toughness. He brought everything you want to see from a New York Yankee. And he brought everything that you needed to see to say, this guy should never put another uniform on for the rest of his life.
Well, you just look at his numbers here, based on his career numbers. Played 157 games this year, which is the second highest total in his career. He played all 162 last year, but remember, he missed that Dodgers series. Missing today, so that's four right there. I forget the other day he was out. He got banged up a couple of times, so it's not terrible. 128 runs scored is not even close. That's 17 more than his career high. His 166 hits is 10 more than his career. No, yeah, 9 more than his career high. Home runs, 41 is 6 more than his career high. 109 RBIs is tied for second in his career high. His career high is 110. His 129 walks, believe it or not, is not even near his career high, though. He walked 145 times in 2021.
That's crazy.
His on-base 419, again, not anywhere near his career high, because in 2021 it was 465. I don't count COVID year, where he was on base 49% of the time. So you can't really count that. But that 419 was the second highest of his career. His slug, 569. Again, if you take out the COVID year, that was the highest of his career. OPS, 989, second highest of his career. Because I'm taking out the COVID year here. Because in 2021, his OPS was 999. 178 on the OPS plus, again, taking out the COVID year, is the highest of his career. So he played above. I mean, it's just amazing the year that this guy had.
He really had a career year.
That if Aaron Judge isn't his teammate, he's in the MVP conversation.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, you want to talk about the walks, how it's nowhere near his career high. You also have to factor in that Aaron Judge hit behind him, and he still had that many walks. It's an unbelievable season. So I'm looking at the wildcard standings real quick in the National League. All the Mets, this is obvious, but all the Mets really have to worry about is winning. If they lose, they put themselves in a really difficult situation. But if they win, yeah, if the Diamondbacks lose and the Mets win, it looks like that's it. Because I'm assuming the Mets own the tiebreaker at that point. Because you said if the Diamondbacks lose and the Braves lose, they don't have to play. So that means that that would mean I can assume the Mets own the tiebreaker over Arizona, and they would be two games up with two to play. But if Arizona wins, even if the Mets win, they're still only one game up in the loss column. So that would force the Mets to have to win one of those two games tomorrow.
Which is what I want. I want the Mets to have to clinch tomorrow. That's what I'm rooting for.
So basically, you'll have that scenario. It's looking pretty good as of right now.
So just to go back here to wrap up the point on Soto and Judge here is that, so Soto walked 129 times. Judge walked a league leading 133 times.
Unreal.
So you had these guys, they combined for 99 home runs and 262 walks this year.
That's all you could ask for, beyond what you could ask for.
That's why the cleanup hitter for the Yankees is going to be the most important player in the entire postseason.
And I don't know that it could be Wells right now.
Whoever the Yankees put behind Aaron Judge is going to be the most important player in the postseason.
Hey, if that's the case, then who better than your best postseason hitter over the last handful of years?
I think you give Giancarlo Stanton the first crack at it.
You have to. You have to. That's a given to me.
Will the Yankees do that because of lineup construction? They're going to go, because if you go Glaber, Soto, Judge, that's right, left, right. Do they go then right, left, left? Because then you would go Jazz and Wells, 5-6, however you want to put them. Is that how they're going to go? And then give the opposing manager a lane.
I think you have to. I think it's so important. Like you said, I mean, the four hitter is the most important hitter all postseason right now.
There's nobody in that lineup. You're taking Soto and Judge out, saying they're going to get on base, they're going to do their thing. There's nobody in that lineup that has the potential to wreck a postseason game like Giancarlo Stanton. And wreck
any
in a good
game,
way.
Postseason even more.
That's why he's got to get the first chance to do damage after Aaron Judge.
Yep. It's 100% true.
So now we just sit back and relax here. The anxiety is going to kick in sometime on Friday, which will be make a happy birthday for me. I'll be sitting there riddled.
Shit, I forgot your birthday's riddled, coming up. 41.
Riddled with anxiety thinking about game one on Saturday, but that's what we live for, right? We missed that. I missed that last year.
41, dude.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow.
That's what people tell you. Like, oh, you know, no. Yeah, but I missed I missed being stressed out for baseball.
Yeah, of course, that's part of it, right? That's part of what you fall in love with.
I miss the heart, my heart racing with every pitch. I don't know if I'll survive till the end of October, but we'll see.
Well, you know what's funny too? Like, I'm not saying I don't pay attention to every game, but when the game's on and it's like midsummer, you know, you're not necessarily every second of every game, you know, going crazy. But in the postseason, man, every single pitch, you are just so dialed in. It's just such a different beast. And I need that again. Not having that last year was just brutal.
Well, that's what we talked about, man. Every out is at a premium. Every out that you secure in a postseason game is a victory.
Yeah.
And that's why you need a Anthony Rizzo out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, Yankee fans, you'll be listening to us here on Monday morning. Obviously, we're going to end the show here as the Yankees are just about ready to take the field to start game 162. The result doesn't matter, so it is what it is. You know, the Yankees are going to finish with at least 93 wins and the top seed in the American League. And honestly, when we sat here and clicked record all those months ago, I didn't think that the Yankees would be in this position. I thought the Yankees were definitely a playoff team this year, but they did it. And you can say, well, because of this, because of that, it doesn't matter. The Yankees ended the regular season the top team in the American League, and they're going into the postseason with the biggest advantage out of any of the American League playoff teams.
I'll tell you what, too. If you told me before the season started 93 wins would guarantee you the top seed in the American League, I wouldn't have believed you.
And I think that's a push, right? Wasn't there over under, or we set it at 93? It was 93.5.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Got to win today for all those bettors.
Yeah, dude. For sure.
But I'm looking forward to Saturday. It's going to be amazing. So, like we say all the time, you're on your favorite podcast platform listening to us right now. Please subscribe. Been hammering this home all season. This is the last regular season episode of the year. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button because we will be recording every off day during the postseason. So if you don't know when the off days are, make sure you're subscribed and you won't miss a show. Chris, you know this. When I sat there in March and I did a recording schedule and it looked like it was the never-ending story. Just show after show after show.
The schedule, did a lot more shows than we were used to this year.
The schedule ends today.
Crazy.
It is amazing that we got through 6 months of a regular season, the ups and downs with this team, the highs, the lows. You know, the first couple of months, they were as hot as anybody. We were as high on them as ever. They had that 6-week stretch where we actually had to sit here and contemplate whether or not they were going to make the postseason.
Yeah.
And then they did enough to right the ship, win the division, and get the top seed in the American League. So now we're here for what we all wanted to be here for, and that's Yankee postseason baseball. So please make sure you are subscribed to the NYYST podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss any of our postseason shows. And hopefully there are plenty of them. Hopefully they were taking you all the way through November with this. That's what we're all here for. We love once for the show to cover a World Series.
Please. Please.
We want to, and now that the regular season's over, I'll go through all this again when the season is over, but I just the unwavering support of our fan base. Can't thank you guys enough. We put out more content this season than ever, thanks to our partners at Odyssey. We are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey, so if you haven't done so already, please go outside and tell your neighbors that we are the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. But because of our contractual obligations, we put out more content than ever. Some days it was a struggle. Doing two shows a week, sometimes it, with everything else that goes on in life, it can be a struggle. And it can sometimes we feel like we're saying the same things over and over again, but we got through it. You guys were there with us every step of the way. We want to thank you. And hopefully you're still riding with us through the postseason and deep into October. So again, as always, thank you for your continued support of the NYYST podcast. And make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground on YouTube, as well as Pete and the fellas over there. We'll be on there at some point during the postseason. But just follow for NYYU's coverage of the Yankee postseason as well over on YouTube. So again, thank you again for your support and listening to episode 426. Chris, or 7, what are we on?
427.
All right, see, done so many shows, forget a couple here and there. Thank you for listening. Episode 427. Chris, say goodbye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.